And then you have to see the dualistic world from that point of view, standpoint, okay? Seeing front and back. Deal with front and back. Anyway, basically, you have to stand up in the realm of the same and one nature. And you have to create, establish in the state of mind, which is like an empty wall. Means abiding constantly, firmly, in the state of non-dualism. Constantly we should do it. But in according to the everyday life, we always judge first. We depend on the life. Our life depends on a sense of value first. Okay? Sense of value comes first. And that means I see the tape recorder, immediately I deal with the tape recorder according to sense of value. Do you understand? Sense of value means it is useful or it is not useful. Okay? Next moment, sense of value is very complicated because it's backed by affective preferences. Do you understand? Affective preferences. So like or dislike, hatred or love, etc. So very natural, very complicated. So we always, our life we depend on always this a sense of value first. Okay? So if you see something immediately, that sense of value comes first. And then we take care of. We don't practice the state of the mind. We don't practice state of mind, which is called Buddha nature, or which is called emptiness. No. So always we depend on that sense of body. So that is that's why Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha says, all sentient beings are Buddha nature. That means you should be anywhere, you should be free from a sense of value first. Stand up in the realm of anyway the same and one nature of all sentient beings means emptiness. Practice speaking, that is detachment. Or more the concrete speaking, your action must be just like water passing by, without leaving trace, the trace of your doing. That's pretty hard. It's simple, but it's very hard practice, because acting always stinky, very stinky. Personal, individual stinkiness there. So because action is based on thinking, evaluation, judgment, etc. So action is not so simple. So that's why when you have to act, there must be something that is called practice, in order to which your practice leads you to stand up straight in emptiness. That is a practice. Okay? Practice. So if you see the tape recorder, but before I establish afflictive preferences, okay? Before I deal with the tape recorder by my afflictive preferences, anyway, let's meet tape recorder as it is. And let's meet myself too, okay, as it really is. So tape recorder and I all set up there in peace, in the same and one nature. That's very simple, but it's very hard. Because the moment when you meet, immediate judgment comes up. You understand? So let's put all things, subject and object, in an equal situation. That is establishing the state of mind which is like a wall, emptiness. How? What do you mean? What do you mean? To establishing a state of the mind which is emptiness. What do you mean? That is to abide firmly in non-dualism, means abiding firmly in one point, means be one with. Set up, put the tekkor and I set up before I establish a afflictive preferences, means tekkor and I exactly appraised in an equal situation, means become one. That is very simple, but the practically is very hard because always our judgment, evaluation work there. So that's why we have to practice like this, constantly. So, abiding anywhere firmly in non-dualism, that is called emptiness, right? How can we do it? This is Zazen. Zazen is very simple anyway. Practice. That is shamatha, we say shamatha. Let's abide firmly in emptiness. So called shamatha. Quiet essence. Samadhi. Okay? Because become one with. No gap between tekkura and I. No dualistic sense. That is shamatha. And then you have to deal with the tape quarter and I. Okay? From that base. Okay? That is skillful means. Okay? That is human action based on skillful expedient. Conducted by a bodhisattva. How do you deal with tekkor and I? That is skillful expedient, right? Which comes from that practice, okay? Emptiness and Buddha nature. So that is called Vajra Samadhi, Sangama Samadhi. So, both are observation of the body as not pure. So that is a mindfulness, practice of mindfulness. So, the principle behind Shakyamuni's sighting of the morning stars at dawn is called observing the body as not pure. Means stars and Buddhas become one. That time, that is called enlightenment, and enlightenment, we say. Enlightenment means nothing to say, just a smile. Because if you touch the core of existence, nothing to say. Anyway, very impressive, but no work. Because stars and you, one. But that is very original experience, very pure nature of experience you have had between stars and you. And then next moment, you can explain. Okay? If you explain it, your about your experience, original experience, or pure experience, that is called philosophy, psychology, and science. Huge science comes up, or poem, or art. Okay? you can say. So, observing the body as not pure is exactly the same as Shakyamuni Buddha's experience of enlightenment when he saw morning stars at dawn on December 8th under the Bodhi tree. That is his practice called observation of the body as not pure, because his body becomes one with the function of the morning stars. His observation is exactly working together with observation of the morning stars. Then touch me, Jones, then that is enlightenment. And then after that, he tried to explain what the contents of his experience. That is a Buddhist teaching. So Buddhist teaching is, if you put all Buddhist teaching into one, that is a very simple experience. Simple, pure sense of experience. After that, you can extend it, spread it. You can spread it huge. You can build a huge mansion. That is philosophy, psychology, physics, and many things. So, that's why principle behind the Shakyamuni setting of morning stars at dawn is called observing the body as not pure. It is beyond the matter of drawing comparison between purity and impurity. It's because it's very original experience. The moment when you touch the core of existence, that's it. Just like a flashing lightning. Very complete beyond a sense of comparison. If you create a sense of comparison, well, you can express, you can spread that simple experience to philosophy, psychology, to 18,000 Buddhist scriptures. Okay? So it is beyond the matter of drawing comparison between purity and impurity. It is body being is not pure, or body manifesting is not pure. Means, first of all, anyway, stand up straight in the emptiness, constantly. Buddha nature, constantly. That means functioning. Constantly functioning. With Tepkor and I, anyway, without divided, without separate, anyway, functioning. That is Buddha nature. Put yourself, put your Tepkor, put others in the same on one ground, anyway. Without discriminating. That is, you must be open yourself. Anyway, your mind must be magnanimous. At that time, body beings means the presence of your body is complete beyond purity or impurity. Your birth, your existence, your presence is exactly Buddha nature. And he says, body manifesting is not pure. It's also, body manifesting means body express your body in many ways. So-called gassho, so-called washing face, so-called sleep, so-called eating meal, so-called training a spiritual life itself. So that is a body manifesting. Okay? Body manifestations. Constantly. That is called, according to the maple leaf, that is a front. Sometimes it shows the front, sometimes it's front the back. So many backs, many fronts. Many backs, many fronts. Body always shows. front and back, front, back. And then through that, showing the back of your body, then you should understand total picture of your life. That is total dynamic walking. Universe. Anyway, if you see the back of your life, anyway, still your basic attitude is constant standing up straight in the realm of Buddha nature. Constant. Anyway, constant. That is your fundamental step. Okay? Fundamental step of your walking. Okay? Step by step. Anyway, walk. That is grounding your life. Then deal with it. Okay. You have a question?
What was the name of the poet who wrote that poem?
Huh?
What was the name of the poet who wrote the poem about the maple leaf?
The Ryokan, the master says.
Ryokan?
Ryokan, Zen Master.
For the B?
R.
R.
Oh, look.
Look.
Is it a haiku?
Kind of haiku. I don't know. It's not a haiku.
Haiku?
It's not haiku. Haiku.
Oh.
I don't know. It's not haiku.
What is it?
It's life.
Is there one round shamatra and the chimamuji?
I wonder if it would help to understand that when he wrote that poem, he was probably not thinking anything about purity or impurity.
Well, basically, he accept life and death, you know. Just like a function, just function.
But when he wrote the poem, all he was thinking about was the leaf.
Yeah, if he thinks, he immediately can see the front and back. So that's what he says.
But he didn't think that it meant anything.
Huh?
He didn't think that the front meant purity and the back meant impurity.
Well, you can ignore this thinking because you have already thinking. But a basic attitude, you have to stand up straight, is always functioning of life and death, total, as a total dynamic work, beyond front or back, front to back. Anyway, do you understand? One, only the same and one activity is there, that is falling. Okay, do you understand? That falling happens, occurrence of the falling comes from where? Very universe, interconnected, interpenetrated with all sentient beings, and then falling comes, falling appears. Okay?
It just seems that if you try to analyze a poem like that, it almost becomes more confusing.
Yeah, right. That is a poem. Poem is always explained. But then it doesn't explain, just to be present, you know. But we're still confused. There is always constant to put you in the simplicity in life, you know. If you experience the source of the existence, then immediately that's so-called enlightenment. So don't explain enlightenment. Be there. Practice there. Get taste of your life. Teach there. Teach that one. That's all. But it's not art. It's not philosophy. There is no philosophy. But people are very confused, always showing that simplicity. That's why we have to explain, you know. But if you explain very naturally, it's become art. So Buddhists become art. Buddhist teaching becomes art. And then in life, we explain why the Buddha's teaching becomes art. You know? So it's beautiful. It's blooming flowers. So-called Buddha nature. So that is a philosophy, Buddhist philosophy and psychology. But Buddhism is not philosophy, and Buddhism is very simple practice. So just the staying and tasting and accepting the origin of experience. Origin of experience. Okay? Where origin? I told you before, maybe the Rilke's poem. Do you remember? Rilke says, rose, oh. Sheer contradiction. Desire to be no one sleeps. Under so many rays. Okay. That is, this poem is inscribed on his gravestone. And rose. That is, first rose is just a rose there, okay? Just like a tip cord. Okay? Next morning he said, oh, means what? What is a rose? Very impressive. He is really impressed strongly by the presence of rose. At that time, within the all, there is no form of rose. It's complete different rose appears. So that is, how can I say? We don't know. So just, if you really experience anything of Rose's life, very impressive. Then he said, just, oh. So that is very original, native, primitive word coming from directly the very pure experience, very pure experience. Then next he says, sheer contradictions means how he accept that original all. And then he starts explaining it. You know, that is how he accept it. Means sheer contradictions. Because simple wisdom, simple experience, simple life, that's it. That's all we have to do. Oh, that's it. Your birth is just all. It's one full life. It's that all, original world, includes wonderful vastness of existence. Something more than Newton's discoveries from discovery of gravity from apples falling. Do you understand? Newton was very impressive by the apples falling. But realistically speaking, within all, that's huge impression there. Something more than discovery, Newton's discovery. That is simplicity, so-called simplicity. Your life, your death, your kashyo, that's it. And then how can you accept that one? And then we start to explain. You know? And then there is sheer contradiction. Completely beyond your speculation, anyway, contradiction there. Okay. Front and back, showing front and back, but simple life is gone there. Within the simplicity, complicated life there. So very sheer contradiction. Complete beyond your speculation. And then next he still continued to explain how does he digest that original niche, original all. He says, desire to be no one sleeps. And so many ways. So he explains about sheer contradiction. Sheer contradiction consists of two. One is under so many layers. That means many layers, layers of human lives. Layers, aspects, the lots of aspects of human life. Suffering, pleasure, lots of stuff. Day by day. Samsaric world. But under so many layers, there is a perfect sleep. That means peace, perfect peace. No one can imitate. That is spiritual security there. Spiritual security, very peace, but on the other hand, so many ways. Suffering, but within death, there is a peace. How can you find it? Right in the middle of roads. So, that poem, coming back to the beginning of the poem, Rose. And then Rose gives a hint to Rilke again. That is O. So, that is a poem. Okay. But then, it's always staying just O. But something more than O, before O, then always let you live, let you stay in that pure sense of original world. Okay? Pure sense of experience. You create a world. You create something in a world. Still there is a pure sense of experience. Before you say oh. So then always put you there and live there and be free from that, you know. Exactly, you have to leap in there. You have to jumping along, you have to vividly live in there. That is Zen teaching. So it's not art. It's very boring. Very boring. Action through your sense. It makes you bored. But strictly speaking, it's really great discovery there. So, Dokken also says, my poem is not poem, people say. So his poem is not poem. So that poem is his poem or Basho's poem, not real poem. It's life. But if you want to make a compose a wonderful poem, you have to say something more, just like a Rilke. Mm-hmm. You have to spread. You have to stretch, you know, one simplicity. Anyway, stretch in beautiful sense, you know, artistic sense. Anyway, stretch. Then you become a great poet. You become a great artist. Okay. But Basho did sometimes, but Basho didn't do it in that way. Very simple expressions. That's why it's not art. Dokken says it's not his poem, it's not his poem. Use your poem.
Rushing. when you talk about the emptiness and no emptiness, and you say that how to reach, I don't know, attain, reach some relation to emptiness, you say practice,
mm-hmm.
But how do we practice with no goal, and no, with no nothing to attain,
mm-hmm.
just being and empty. So no purpose, no idea. Because if I know a practice is not a tool to emptiness, but how to do practice with no purpose.
You have to understand no purpose based on purpose and no purpose. All for human action. Human action always has a purpose. Nevertheless, right in the middle of a purpose of a human action, you have to find something more than idea of purpose or not purpose. That is called no purpose, no goal. That's pretty hard practice. But, in other words, that is a very simple practice anyway. And also, simple human activities. But a human activity is already complicated. So you have to find the simplicity of human activity within the complication of human activity. Do you understand that one? That's why you see your eyes, nose, ears, human body, human mind. You have to polish. Anyway, again and again, it's not stinky, okay? Your body and your minds are already Buddha nature, okay? Buddha nature means you already exist beyond the expectation. Just like a tree, bird, etc. So that is called, let's stand up in the realm of Buddha nature. Means your life activity is complicated. That doesn't mean stinking, alright? No. It's already set. Don't deal with the human activity, complication of activity as a stinky. Okay? No. You should deal with complication of human activity as a Buddha. And then at that time, you can practice. You can practice. You can practice. You can listen to Buddha nature. You can listen to Buddha's teaching through you with your ears. Okay? And then simultaneously, teaching comes into you, return to you. If you always put yourself in a little more Buddha. Okay? But if you have a discrimination to see when you see the your body complication of human activities, so-called thinking. Buddha's teaching doesn't return to you, okay? Because you always confine yourself into your shell. Okay? Even though you listen to Buddha's teaching, doesn't return to you. So first of all, you have to stand up there anyway, open, okay? That is listen, constantly listening to Buddha nature, Buddha's teaching anyway. Beyond your mind is pure or impure, anyway, listen, constantly listen. Don't get into mention later in this chapter. Anyway, listen, cleaning your room anyway, listen. Beyond clean or not clean. That's our practice. Then that human activity is simultaneously to let you be in emptiness, and simultaneously that is practice speaking the shamatha, practicing of shamatha, simultaneously. That, in practicing the shamatha, leads you to reach the clear observation of the how human world is going. Okay? Clear observation. So shamatha lets you be right in the middle of emptiness. Simultaneously, shamatha leads you to clear observation of the world. So you can be emptiness, but you can handle the, you can see the human world, what human world is. So very naturally, basic attitude toward human life occurs. So that is our practice constantly. But traditionally there are many practices, and simply speaking, the precept, samadhi, meditation, and wisdom. That is a very basic. Or sometimes for mindfulness, or 37 bodhisattva practice contributing to bodhisattva's enlightenment. 37 practices there. That is very traditional. But anyway, is that all right? Still some questions.
To an emptiness is like purity, no purity, no emptiness also. So also no emptiness, not anything, just emptiness, no emptiness, like back and front. Emptiness also, we must be empty also, no emptiness to want or to have or to possess or attain.
Sure, but what, that's why I ask about what is that?
Well, sometimes
we what does that mean? How can you practice? It's not an explanation to you. So you have to do something there.
Yes, like still have to just do without without emptiness. The practice must be then without emptiness as a goal. Just
well,
no emptiness
you
also.
You explain it, but how do you do it?
Oh, how do I do it?
Well, how do you do it?
So, just... just doing.
You are still explaining. How do you do it? Point is, how do you do it?
I don't know.
That's good.
I don't know. If I think for myself, if I think emptiness, I feel I must think also no emptiness. So. Like the leaf, I want to be empty like the leaf, back and front. So empty, no empty, and empty, no empty, but not holding on to empty or no empty. So that's when I try to be empty and no empty. No idea, maybe. So I don't hold on too much to my desire to be empty.
Well, question is, I understand what you said, you understand what you said, but you don't understand exactly how do you do it.
Yes, I don't know.
Sure, that's great. You have to always have a question, how do you do it, you know? That is a question. That is a very important for us, because always emptiness. What do you mean emptiness? Emptiness is you have to reflect upon yourself. What do you do? How do you do it? Constantly you have to keep your eyes open. That means you keep your eyes open is manifested as a question. How do I do? But you cannot stay always, how do I do? No. You have to do it. You know? So always there is a sheer contradiction there. How do I do? I don't know. But you cannot stay, I don't know, with that I don't know. So, you have to do it. Right in the middle of I don't know. Okay? That is the life. That is a simplicity. Okay? So simplicity is a very simple, pure simplicity, beyond simplicity or complication. That is simplicity dimension always. Okay? But it's very difficult to understand it, but practically it's very simple. That's why you have to practice it. Okay? Still there is a universal openness to everyone to get into that simplicity through the practice, even though you don't understand principle, okay, of that practice. Still chance. So let's do it. Let's do it. But you cannot do it by yourself because our action is already complicated. That's why we need practice under the guidance anyway. Okay? Anyway, guidance.
During practice, are you supposed to pick out a spot on the wall and stare at it? And you're actually supposed to be looking at the wall? At one point on the wall and maintain.
No. You mean like the sitting facing the wall?
Yeah. No, is the wall just supposed to be there, or are you actually supposed to be looking at it?
No. Wall there, but the wall, not wall there. If you say wall is there, at that time you observe the wall.
But I just mean.
Just sit up there anyway, and without looking at the wall, without being obsessed with wall, you know.
Well, it was just a question about technique, you know, like
sure,
posture.
Sure.
You know, you're supposed to keep your eyes really sort of
sure.
Supposed to try and
sure, and then they just that's why. I always say to cast down your eyes on the floor. But if you face at the wall, actually you should keep that certain distance, you know. It's too close to the wall. Actually, we have more space between you and wall. That's pretty good for us. But if we don't have enough space, that's when we sit pretty close to the wall.
You mean the Zendo should be bigger?
Oh, I think so. Idealistically, I would like to have a big Zendo, but it's impossible now, so I should practice patience. So, facing the wall, that's all right, but a certain area, not only one point, you know, a certain area, little bigger area.
I have often asked on many occasions before, but when you said to practice Buddhism, you have to have a strong faith in the Buddhism, teaching, and you have to keep listening to it. And when you're doing those, I think it's true in the other religious groups do the same way. And to find out that you have to be very careful to listening to those.
Sure.
But still, for me, we are doing something we don't know yet.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we know as a teaching,
uh-huh.
but we don't know what kind of things we can base on to judge we are doing the right thing or wrong thing. What? So,
I'm not saying the faith, religious faith, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because Buddhist faith is already based on the very deep understanding of the source of existence. So from this point, even though you don't have a faith or you have a faith, anyway, your life is already right in the middle of faith, you know. So from this point, it's not necessary to think I should have a faith or I shouldn't have a faith. Okay? Anyway, let's have a white canvas of your life. That's a white canvas. Well, the faith or not faith doesn't matter anyway. White canvas. That is your life. Temporary is called faith. because that faith is, want to say, supporting your life. That state, white canvas, is open to you and to everyone, to your future, so you can draw a picture, any kind of thing.